be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back again. We want to thank the district attorney here in Plymouth County, Tim Cruz, for joining us and having a great conversation. If you happen to miss it, you're just tuning in now, fear not. We do our best to make sure that we put all podcasts up. We don't just put like the whole show up, although I probably should. It would take me less time. But I like having each segment unto itself, and I get to kind of see the unique hits and, you know, people who play it. And it gives me an idea of like what's popular, what isn't. And also, who wants to scrub through an entire show? Just want to listen to the people who are on. Joining us in studio right now, we have Liz Dow. Or would you prefer Elizabeth?
Oh, Liz is fine.
Okay. Because I figured someone calls you Elizabeth means you're in trouble or something.
I've been called worse.
Liz Dow and Christine Buckley.
Correct.
And they are here with the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. What is the Brain Aneurysm Foundation? Who wants to take that?
All right, I'll take that. So the Brain Aneurysm Foundation was established back in 1994 out of Boston, Massachusetts, from a nurse who actually was treated for a brain aneurysm and said to herself, oh my God, you know, what happened to me? What should I expect in recovery? And where do I go from here? So because of her efforts and initiatives came the Brain Aneurysm Foundation, and our main focus is on support, education, awareness, and research funding. 1 in 50 people in America are affected by a brain aneurysm. 30,000 people a year rupture. Half the people who rupture will die. And out of the remaining half, two-thirds of the people have varying degrees of disabilities. So it's a very serious disease, very low on the spectrum of awareness for the general public in the medical community. So the Brain Aneurysm Foundation exists to raise awareness, increase funding, provide support, a multitude of activities and events.
And from what I understand, you guys kind of did a little bit of a update when you came in here, as I was kind of looking at one piece of information. Kind of talk to me about the mission of the foundation itself.
Yeah. So I mentioned the four prongs: support, education, awareness, and research funding. But the mission is to promote early detection of brain aneurysms by providing knowledge and raising awareness of the signs, symptoms, and risk factors. It's working with the medical community to provide support networks for patients as well as their families, which is very important, and also to further research that will improve the outcomes for patients and save lives.
Where does research stand for early detection, or to be able to head this off at the pass? Do we know?
Well, the research does cover a multitude of different areas. So part of it is early detection. Part of it is better treatment methods. Part of it is better rehabilitation and outcomes after a rupture. But one of the big focuses of the foundation now is early detection will save lives. So if a patient is scanned, if they know the signs and symptoms, they have a much better chance of detecting that aneurysm, getting treatment, and having a better outcome.
A lot of people don't understand that if they have a headache like they've never had before, that it may not just be a migraine. They really need to go to the ER and get checked out by medical staff. That's probably one of the primary symptoms of a brain aneurysm. Dilated pupils, blurred or doubled vision, pain above and behind the eye, weakness and numbness, difficulty speaking. A lot of people have these things. Some people are misdiagnosed and are sent home saying it's just a migraine, and then end up, you know, unfortunately dying or worse, you know, later. So if you have any of these symptoms, definitely go to the ER, get checked out.
Joe?
What are the, how many people or what is the tendencies for these, for an aneurysm to simply last in the brain, you know, before it may rupture? What's the average expectancy of the duration of an aneurysm?
That is a very good question. And unfortunately, that's one of those things. When we're saying raise awareness, there's so much with this disease, even in terms of research, there's so much that the medical community doesn't know.
Sure.
So, for instance, people aren't really sure how they form, when they form, or why they form. Some of the risk factors that lead to formation of a brain aneurysm is smoking and high blood pressure and things like that, but people can be born with them. They can develop later in life. So those are the things that are being looked at, you know, on a regular basis, and part of the reasons that makes this disease very complex in terms of treatment and research.
So I guess I would ask, is this a certain demographic, or is this could this affect someone of all ages?
Absolutely. Women over the age of 40, women particularly have an increased risk if they are using drugs or have had a traumatic head injury, tumors, congenital abnormality of artery wall. All of these things can add to a heightened risk of a ruptured brain aneurysm or a brain aneurysm in general.
And it is said that the average age of a brain, someone having a brain aneurysm, is 35 to 60, and women at a higher prevalence of 3-to-2 ratio more than men. But unfortunately, when we work in the office that we do, we have calls of young people, you know, if not daily, every week at the ages of 15, 13, and even younger sometimes. Yeah, so it can really just strike indiscriminately.
Yeah, I had a buddy die last year at 26 or 27 from a brain aneurysm.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's horrible.
In his sleep, too. It was quite traumatic. Yeah,
we're really doing sad. There is an event coming up in North Carolina this October for Ellie Helton, who is a 14-year-old girl. Who woke up on her second day of high school with a headache, and within a matter of hours, she was gone. Just tragic story. You never know. The more and more people I talk to, the more and more people know someone or are related to someone who have had a brain aneurysm. And the fact of the matter is that there's so little federal funding to help us promote awareness and to help us do the research and educate the staff and people on what to look out for. It's just shocking.
Right.
It's absolutely shocking. In fact, we were in Washington, D.C. in May. May 13th was our lobby day on Capitol Hill, and we were lobbying for two resolutions. One of the resolutions was asking for federal funding legislation that would be named after Ellie Helton. It would be called Ellie's Law, and that funding, federal funding, would go specifically towards research and education of medical staff. The other resolution, House Resolution Number 259, would go to declare September as the National Brain Aneurysm Awareness Month, which is very important. I think awareness is the number one key. The legislation, Ellie's Law resolutions, the Senate Resolution Number 176, both of those can be found if you go to bafound.rallycongress.com, and you click on that, and it'll walk you through the steps. Very, very easy to connect with your congressman in the Senate and ask for help.
Does everybody seem receptive when you're talking to them, whether it's here locally or if it is down in D.C., do they seem receptive to the cause? Or do you feel that you get a lot of lip service, honestly?
No, I think people are receptive. I think congressionally people, I mean, their hands are tied. It's certainly not the most pressing issue. We're not the only disease going down there trying to raise awareness. Right. But our message is, when we're trying to get more funding for research, is the importance of having parity for the incidence, for the number of people that are stricken by a brain aneurysm. That ratio or the parity should be the same for, like, you know, prostate cancer or breast cancer, where the numbers are similar in prevalence, but the research funding is like a quarter of what those diseases are. So we're looking to raise a level of parity. And, you know, locally, we've Congressman Keating, who actually just ran into before the show, and he is actually one of the supporters of the House Resolution 259. So we're really thankful for that.
Now, according to some of the information that you ladies were kind enough to provide here, 50% of the ruptured brain aneurysm cases are fatal, but about 66% of the survivors suffer some kind of permanent effect.
Neurological damage.
Is that similar to like a stroke, almost the same type of issues?
It is actually a type of stroke.
Yes. It is, okay.
So there's an ischemic stroke, which causes a clot and a blockage, and then a hemorrhagic stroke is this rupturing of the vessel that bleeds in the brain.
In fact, 3-5% of a ruptured brain aneurysm can count to 3-5% of all strokes.
New
strokes.
Wow.
so they're very closely related. Mm. We actually have support groups all over the nation, and some of them are both, you know, stroke-related mm. and aneurysm-related support mm. groups for survivors.
Yeah, and oddly enough, this was something that back a number of years ago, my mother actually suffered from an aneurysm, and it happens. There's nothing, you can do about it. It was so sudden.
That's the
and,
scary
you know,
thing.
She's just, you know, doing a daily thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And collapsed, and you know, family member happened to hear her, just kind of give out a gasp. Luckily, somebody was home.
Yep.
And she was able to be flown, but she was hospitalized up until her demise.
Yeah, that's really sad. I mean, and one of the things, you know, what's unfortunate, again, the awareness level, like we say, in the general public and the medical community. I don't know about you and your mother, unfortunately, had the brain aneurysm, but most likely, I'm guessing you had probably never heard of a brain aneurysm before.
Nope.
So that's part of the shock, the tragedy, when someone's dealing with a medical emergency with a family member, then it's a whole medical emergency, a term they've never heard of before.
Right. And
it makes it difficult.
And she was basically, she was a fraction. She was mm-hmm. a fraction of herself. She
right.
was a shell of herself after. I mean, she slowly came out of it, but she was never the same.
It's a very long and difficult recovery.
Yeah, and that we see a lot, too. Unfortunately, the people never are the same person they once were, which is sad for the whole family.
And I find it amazing that more times than not, it's a female
right.
who is afflicted, not necessarily, I mean, I'm sure you have male cases, but it's more so females.
Right. Right. And again, that's the stats, and it's not really proven why that is, and there is different research being done to try to determine, you know, what really causes that, but it's not really known at this point in time. And the one thing that they do know is that there's also a familial component, so they do run in families.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the importance of people, you know, knowing the signs and symptoms, knowing someone in your family had one. And, you know, if you ever have any similar type symptoms, it's good to let your doctor know, so that way it's easier for you then to get a scan to determine if you might have one or not.
And looking at some of the risk factors, one of the problems that my mother had was high blood pressure.
Yeah.
That was
mm-hmm.
that was kind of one of the factors.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Other than being a female.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What are some of the other risk factors? What are some of the other things? Because we I think you touched upon just a couple of basic ones, but there are other things. If you know you have things in your medical history that also could be something that you want to keep an eye on. No.
Well, obviously, if you're walking around with an unruptured brain aneurysm, you're probably not going to realize it unless you have a localized headache, dilated pupils, blurred or double vision, pain above the eye, weakness and numbness, and even difficulty speaking. Some of the factors which could lead to that would be smoking, of course, high blood pressure, family history. If you're over the age of 40, very few younger people tend to have these, although it does happen, as opposed likely in Elliot Helton's case. Drug use, traumatic head injury, tumors, congenital abnormality in the artery wall, AVM, which is arteriovenous malformation, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and polycystic kidney disease, fibromuscular dysplasia, which is FMD. If you have a rupture, it's going to be the worst headache of your life. You could lose consciousness almost immediately. You'll be nauseous. You'll be vomiting.
Beware of those warning signs.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because it could save your life. And, you know, the thing about this is that it's sort of the silent killer. Nobody is really aware of it. You hear of a brain aneurysm, you're terrified to even look up the definition and
some of the
find
things,
out what
and,
it is.
And some of the things that you describe, some people would think, oh, maybe I bumped my head, maybe I have a slight concussion or something,
right.
And they will be more apt to kind of
write it off,
and be like, oh, I'll be okay. I'll just take a handful of Excedrin and I'll be okay.
Exactly.
Right. And like one of our doctors on our board will always say, it's a low frequency, high risk disease. And that's why, you know, right, high risk in terms of its morbidity for people. And that's why one of our initiatives now with early detection is to get an early detection video out there for EMS people and then the general kind of acute care, urgent care, ER people as well, for them to bring brain aneurysms into their differential diagnosis.
And folks might think, oh, well, why are they in kind of talking about this? So why aren't they on like another radio? You guys are local.
We are.
You guys are right here in our backyard.
Most people don't realize there's a national semi-international yeah. organization being yeah. run right down the street here in Hanover, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right. And what exactly, what do you need from our listeners? What do you need from the folks here on the South Shore? How can they help?
Well, the first thing they can do is support the resolutions that we're trying to get passed through in Congress. Mm-hmm. House Resolution 259, which is to establish September as the Brain Aneurysm Month.
Yep.
Senate Resolution, which is House Resolution, is supported by Congressman Keating, and Senate Resolution, which is supported by Markey, Senate Resolution Number 176, which is asking for legislation to be passed for federal funding for education, research. Awareness is key. We want people to go to bafound.org, read about it, find out what they can do to help. We do have annually an event that happens at Fenway Park in April. It's the Arterial Challenge. If they would like to create their own event and help us raise funds that'll go to research, education, and awareness, they can contact us at events@bafound.org.
I was just going to interject, if anyone locally has had one, doesn't know about our organization, there is a local support group that's in Norwell every month, run by the Norwell VNA. That's a really great group.
Well, Christine, Liz, I want to thank both of you for being here this evening. Anything you want to say in closing that we may have forgot to mention while you were here?
Just want to say thank you very much. 1 in 50 people have a brain aneurysm. Know the signs and symptoms and help us raise awareness.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. Liz Dow, Christine Buckley with the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. We are going to step aside just for a moment, but when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com, the South Shore's news, weather, and traffic station.